Ladies and gentlemen, here with the final prime time of season one, it is us, it is we, it is WTF. Prime time! I am Vangelis, I'm joined by Gog Dog.
Hey, buddies, 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 buddies.
Hey.
And also joining us are the freshly rejuvenated Aaron and Omegas.
No longer with thirst for brains, just for whiskey.
Yep.
What rejuvenated Omegas did you hear?
The one who was rejuvenated before he was totally worn out by the time we got to this recording.
Jeez.
it's after New York Comic Con. It's after the proper airing of the finale of Transformers Prime Season 1, and we're here to talk about it now that we can see it in proper quality. And I have the HD encode running silently on my monitor in front of me, and already I noticed things I didn't see on the YouTube version, so boom. Just some really pretty reflections and stuff going on. You gotta see the show in HD if you can. It's really worth it, especially just to see... Seeing the purple reflections on Megatron while they're inside Unicron's body... It's just fantastic stuff. Also, it's nice to see it in a proper resolution and not the weird square crop that Singapore provided earlier on.
Standard def and square. It's almost inhuman now.
I used KeepVid to watch that copy of it after we recorded the last prime time, and I actually sat there going like, oh, I must have screwed something up, and I spent like 10 minutes trying to fix the aspect ratio until I realized there's nothing I could do for it. Because that's how it was on YouTube. But, yeah, this was a pretty cool ender. Had its ups and downs and had a hell of shocking ending. But I want to just open up by covering yet again another Nostradamus moment from the last podcast where I was like, you know, that key kind of looks like the key to Vector Sigma. It's the key to Vector Sigma.
That's I was actually yelling at you guys whilst listening to that episode myself.
Yeah, like, guess what? That's why we didn't have you on the last one.
Yeah. I acknowledge.
As soon as me and Vangelis finished it, we literally stopped recording, you know, said our goodnights to each other, like, and wished each other well because we knew we were going straight into watching it. And with the Skype chat still open from having recorded the last prime time, I said, and that's why we record without spoilers.
It was so worth it, I think, because, I mean, this the key to Vector Sigma thing, and seeing the reactions in the last prime time's thread, I was like, I'm smiling.
Yeah. Well, funny. I honestly had the feeling watching it the first time that that was the key to Vector Sigma, because it was the way that Prime hitched, not to do a recap of last time, but the way that Prime hitched was like, it's the key to the space bridge power supply. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I was like, that's a pretty friggin' mystical looking key to your, you know, basically your door.
Yeah, I think it becomes a knee-jerk reaction for Transformers fans. Well, okay, if we see a big glowing ball, that's most likely Vector Sigma. If we see a little glowing ball with handles, that's the Matrix. If we see a key, it's the key to Vector Sigma.
Yeah.
But it's the same shape. If you remember how it looked in other times, it's that kind of, you know, wide at the end with a couple steps and shape.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, it's not like he handed him a Schlage lock key and said, here's the key to the space bridge. It was obviously of... If not, you know, if it wasn't actually that, then it was something that the animators took the cue from. And it ended up being the key to Vector Sigma. So. Yeah.
And I think that's what I was thinking. It's like, well, you know, they needed a Cybertronian key of some sort. He's not, like you said, he's not going to hold a Master Lock key in his hand. So I thought like, well, yeah, maybe they just took inspiration from that. But as we see through the rest of the episode, they're starting to delve more into stuff like that. So.
Yeah, this episode cracked open even more mythology. And backstory for this show. I don't want to keep steering us all over the place. So maybe I'll shift this along over to let's hear from the guys who weren't here last time. Aaron,
yeah,
bring me a topic.
Do we want to not do recap since you guys have already done that? So I'm going to say info dump done right.
Yeah.
Because we get the whole lead-in of, you know, Optimus Prime and Megatron having worked together before, and then it was probably 4 or 5 minutes. It was a significant chunk of the episode.
Yeah, it was pretty big, and it was really weird because I usually don't like it when a show goes into having, you know, Flash-style cutscenes, as I call them, of, you know, still imagery moving past each other. But this still imagery was so beautifully rendered.
Yeah, it was almost like it was, like, you could imagine paintings.
Yeah.
Of, you know, it starts out with showing Orion Pax on some sort of pedestal moving up. You could almost see that, like, as a painting that somebody's done on Cybertron of, you know, Orion Pax before he became a Prime. And, you know, here he is contemplatively looking at something over our shoulder. You know, it's so good in that style. It's not, I mean, it's, wow. It's definitely like concept art. Somebody put hours into each one of these things to make it just look great.
And the subtle little animations over it to kind of go motion comic style.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, as someone who does not like this style of stuff showing up in a really well animated show, this was the best way to do it. I was really surprised how much I enjoyed it, because the first minute of it, I was like, oh man, this is going on and it's not real animation. But then I started watching it more and I was like, yeah, this is really hooking me in. Like, this is well done stuff. Some of that art was beautiful.
Yeah.
There's something about it also I want to bring up, but I don't want to keep jumping in back and forth. So, Omegas, anything you'd like to add in to our discussion?
No, I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit more because...
All right, go for it.
I really think it's the first time that we actually got a little bit of backstory for Optimus Prime at all. I know one of our complaints in these episodes before have been, well, you know, all these characters are being developed except for the one that the show is named after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, this is the time when we finally got to see a lot of what made Optimus Prime. You know, there's a part of me that kind of likes how some of the mythology from the newer comic books leaked into it, the same way the G1 comics leaked into shows like Beast Wars along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a lot of this backstory stuff is straight from Exodus.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that's actually, I managed to sell like 3 or 4 copies of Exodus at Slagicon this weekend based on that, talking to people that were watching Prime and real interested in it and had some of those books sitting around and said, hey, you know, if you like Prime, you gotta read this. Yeah, it doesn't line up. It's like, you know, like you were just saying, you know, it's comic book versus TV stuff, mm-hmm. but so much of it just syncs up so well that,
still need to read Exodus, but I saw some of the stuff they were talking about and I was like, yo, they just totally soft tied this to War for Cybertron.
Well, that's what Exodus is the prequel to War for Cybertron. So Exodus being tied, its original purpose was to provide a backstory and world building, from what I understand, because I own the book, I just haven't read it yet.
But
I only bought it in the last month. But I mean,
so that means you've had 28 days at least to read it. Come on.
Yeah, but it, you know, and that goes into a little bit with what we said on 169 when we were talking about Fall of Cybertron, in that Exodus was kind of designed as the official fictional tie-in to War for Cybertron, but as we had heard from one of the Hasbro panels at BotCon this year, you know, when they're doing what is the new one called? Exiles?
Exiles.
The new book. So Exiles is the sequel to Exodus, but it's definitely more than just a video game tie-in. And now that we've gotten towards the end of the season and they have time to incorporate some of that stuff, they're definitely going directly back to Exodus, which is an official tie-in to War for Cybertron. So all these things are kind of linked together, and it's a shame, I don't think, that they, at least the people in the show, really got a chance to start incorporating those threads until probably they were already well into the show before they started receiving that direction. But it's nice to see that they're at least trying as best as they can to start using some of that stuff.
Well, I primarily just meant stuff like when they talked about Megatron injecting dark energon into the planet itself, and Optimus getting the Matrix of Leadership from the core of the planet, like those specific events from War for Cybertron.
Yeah, and that's
what really got me going. Like, oh wow, so after all that, you know, funning we were doing on them trying to say this was all linked. And, you know, how they kept saying, like, oh, well, it's soft link. They actually really did do, like, the most solid soft link you could ask for, which is, like, basically stating major events from the video game but using the Prime backdrop to show them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was funny how they did that too, because when we recorded our very first Prime Time, we were like, oh, well, you know, because at that point we weren't sure how they were tied in, and we were like, oh, well, this is the first time anybody has seen Dark Energon, so, you know, they can't definitely be in direct continuity with each other. But when it references Megatron corrupting Cybertron, you see like this purple aura go over it. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you can link that in your brain, and it may or may not be Dark Energon, and it probably wouldn't make any sense if it was, because of everybody's reaction to it. But it was still kind of cool how they, like you said, it was probably about the best soft tie-in they could do, because it at the very least the imagery looked very much from War for Cybertron, even though the nitpicky details don't exactly match up. But
and now that we know that the quote unquote continuity is meant to be that soft level of tie-in, I'm way more accepting of it now. In looking at it and just go like, this is just like, you know, back in the day when you'd have, you know, a movie property in the 90s that's borrowing from another property and things are not quite syncing up. It's like, it all kind of happened in the same relative way, but it's being delivered in very different ways. It just makes more sense to me now. That flashback was between that and that, you know, delivery of the original 13, a few episodes earlier, I was really pleased with where the show has gone. And I can say, I'm not going to tell you guys, you know, like spoilers or stuff from the panel, even though there were not really that many spoilers. There were a lot of, in the Q&A section, a lot of people who had really like, and they were, you know, there was some folks who were, you know, hardcore Transformers fans, but some folks who struck me as being, you know, not the sorts who would go as far as listening to podcasts and whatnot. And they were saying some really nice things about several parts of Transformers Prime. Some people had, you know, crits to drop at the same time, but one of the coolest things I heard was that they were really happy that Optimus Prime is now in this show is more than just a voice and an archetype. And between that and also all the world building, people kept saying, like, you know, it's great to see this world building and sort of stuff like that. Gog, I'm coming around to you now.
Hi, welcome.
My carousel has arrived and I'm on the pink pony.
How about Megatron and his sincerity to holding up his end of the deal with Prime? He fought hard, and he had several opportunities to take out Prime before Unicron was finished, even with him being behind his back and Unicron basically kind of trying to will him in to do it even before outright taking his own body. But Unicron was like, look, you need to stop Prime, and Megatron was like, nope. we have a deal to honor before we do this. And I thought it was good that Megatron kept his word, and we see later that he really did keep his word, and that when Unicron is done, then it's back to the status quo. But all that before, and like seeing that one scene was really awesome with when they were on that bridge and Bulkhead was hanging down, and then the camera moves over and you see Prime and Megatron basically fighting back to back.
Yeah.
And then at one point, literally ending back to back. And I was like, that's kind of awesome. I really enjoyed that. And you know, and especially knowing seeing the flashback that Ratchet had narrated, knowing the history of those two, you almost kind of wonder like the team that could have been between those two. And it was kind of cool imagery, I think. And again, it was kind of stuff that fictionally came out of nowhere, but it was all really done. And then kind of topping it off with them fighting and helping each other, it was all really good stuff. And it makes me wonder how that's gonna, especially with that monologue we got, and then them kind of working together, and now seeing what we got leading into season two, it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this.
Yeah. Well, I was just with you. I'd seen how well they fought back to back. And even then it seemed like they had the same moves each time, you know, when it would do that kind of pot low or, like the high speed, you know, it'd be like boom, boom, boom. And then they'd both have a kick and then boom, boom, boom. And then they'd both like slice the sword
kind of 300 boom, boom, style. Then,
yeah, it was very 300 style, but it seemed like also a lot of their moves were kind of lining up. So I wonder if, you know, if there was some back in the day, Orion Pax got trained with the great gladiator fighter Megatronus, or what was going on, because it seemed odd that they would have, I mean, well, you know, granted, you've been fighting between each other for so long, but if they picked up styles from training together, not just fighting
in the beginning of the show,
Prime
had said that him and Megatron had once fought side by side.
That's true. Yeah,
so
yeah,
before,
yeah, yeah.
But we also learned that Megatron did indeed fight the Decepticons. So it may be just a retcon, or it may be they hadn't really ironed all that stuff out yet as far as the details behind it and the history, but you know, it's possible that they did fight in some fashion, you know, of some other force or insurrection or something before the separation of Autobot and Decepticon, but at this point, who knows?
I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that there might have just been some ironing out to do during that five-parter, especially when at their panel last weekend, we learned what the timeline has been like on these shows. That five-parter was completed days before it went to air.
And I think that's the impression we all had at the time, too.
Yeah, no, they confirmed the five-parter was completed less than a week before it went to air, and most episodes of Prime are finished about a week or two before they go to air. They are on a very tight timeline. They also told us that any given episode of Prime takes about a year to produce in total.
Okay, so like, voices have been in the can for quite a while. I mean, heck, we saw lines out of this last three-parter a long time ago, I guess.
We saw lines before this last three-parter, before the very first pilot aired.
They wrote Unicron being within the Earth 2 years ago.
Okay.
That was written 2 years ago.
My heart just broke.
Yeah, I know. And what's funny is, so one guy said we wrote the Unicron being the Earth 2 years ago, and then the writer guy piped in saying, well, you know, Unicron is not technically the Earth. The Earth is just an assembly of things that have collected around his body. And I was like, he's getting nitpicky just like I was, and I got all excited. But those kind of little factual discrepancies, I am sure, are at least in part due to the extremely tight timeline the show's been running on, which also kind of makes me feel a little bit better about the breaks they take, because I'm like, that's time for them to build up, you know, two episodes.
To catch up. Right.
But, and you know, when I say a year per episode, they do work on, like, multiple episodes at once, so it's not like they spent 26 years making the series. But Omegas, I just realized I asked you for a thing, and then you talked about Aaron's thing, but I never asked you for a new thing. So I'm gonna ask you for a new thing now.
Looking inside Unicron throughout this scene, I loved the scale that they were presenting with this.
Yeah,
you could especially see it in the fight scene with the antibodies.
I thought this was a really great way to build off of the look of the insides of Unicron back in the 86 movie. Like, it felt very loving in that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of this that kind of gave me flashbacks to the old Unicron scene from the 86 movie, especially when you had a fight scene in Unicron's chamber with Unicron trying to will on Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you see it in this fight scene where this is almost how I kind of wanted the Scraplets to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wanted this huge swarm, guns blazing, and RC getting the best action scenes again.
I actually shouldn't say anything, but you said Scraplets, and it reminded me of something from the panel.
But, quiet.
The insides of Unicron, I think, were, as an environment, like, they were just fantastically done. Like, just the. It felt like you were inside a biology, which is the most important thing to get across when you're inside Unicron.
They had that heartbeat thrum going on, at least on a low level, I think, the whole time they were in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just that low ambient noise that's enough to make you feel like something's going on.
Yeah. Also, I think their use of the word antibodies made me excited, because I think that was... I know this probably wasn't the intention, but I remember way back in the day, those things inside Unicron being referred to as antibodies, I think, was a more of a fan term than something that was stated in the actual fiction.
Right.
So this was another case where it felt kind of like they took something that all the fans say and have kind of just taken for granted and kind of very quietly canonized the terminology in a cool way.
Well, was I the only one that saw hints of diagnostic drones in these antibodies?
Now that you say it, I can kind of see it, but...
Because it was like central eye thing and two pivoting, like, thruster stalks.
I can see the similarities when you mentioned diagnostic drone. It didn't pop into my head when I was watching it, but I will admit the diagnostic drone does not pop into my head very often. I'm sorry.
I know. They need creepy little three fingered arms in order to ring diagnostic drone in my head.
I did love the swarm aspect of those things though, and. I also loved it when Megatron literally was like, I'm just going to convince this like blood vessel into Unicron's heart that I'm actually part of Unicron. And then when the thing opened, there were like 500 doors rapidly opening. Like,
yeah,
it was so cool.
it does make me wonder, like, that's the first time they mentioned it, but there were doors opening up on the way there.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's like another reason why Megatron had to come along.
Yeah. Well, that was also like, into the final chamber, so you don't.
Yeah, that was the impression I got
the whole way.
Yeah, right. That was the impression I got. Was Prime needed to be there for because he had the Matrix, and Megatron had to be there to even get them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just some really cool visual aesthetic. I was trying to get a hold of one of the design guys at New York, but I went to his Artist Alley table and he wasn't there, and I was like, I wanted to flip out about a bunch of this stuff. Speaking of flipping out, let's just do the big one. So that twist at the end.
Yeah.
The spoiler of the finale completely took me by surprise. Completely and utterly took me by surprise. And I am so, so happy it wasn't spoiled for me by anyone, except for my own viewing of the episode. So that's what happens when you unload the matrix of leadership in this universe.
Yeah,
it seems to have like regressed Optimus's memory back to well before he ever had the matrix, and not even like I thought at first. I was like, maybe it regressed his memory to before the matrix joined with him, but I was like, no, he still thinks that that's Megatronus.
Yeah,
and that's even farther back. And I gotta say, props to Peter Cullen for being the 2011 Peter Cullen and managing to get across, you know, that notion that this was an Optimus Prime whose mind has just regressed to centuries before where he is now. He didn't sound like I was worried, or at least in hindsight, I think one worry I would have if I'd heard about this would be hearing Peter Cullen going like, ah, Megatronus, what's going on? You know, like sounding like a superhero the whole time he's talking. And between you know, the acting and having the faceplate just retract immediately, I really thought that carried itself well, and I love the way that Megatron reacted to it too, because it definitely cemented another level of this is not a cartoony Megatron. This is at least a vaguely cunning Megatron who's like, you know, I'm not gonna take advantage of this by killing him. I'm gonna go like, oh.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just in an absolute split second, he realized exactly what happened and knew exactly how to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I was so happy because I was like, oh, he's going to kill him and stuff, or he's going to attack him, and then Optimus is going to just run off or something. But no, he's like, oh, yeah, Orion Pax, we're lucky to have made it out of there. We got to get away from these villainous Autobots right now. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of stuff on Twitter. Thankfully, no one spoiled it that I had followed, but... I kept hearing people say, oh my god, that ending. And when Megatron pulled his blade out, I thought that the series was going to end with Prime dying and Megatron maybe even taking the Matrix. And yeah, maybe it wouldn't be of much use to him because he can't use it, or it had just used all of its power against Unicron or something. But I was like, oh man, are they really going to do this?
Because that is the cliche again. I mean, you expect it's Transformers. Prime should usually die once in a while. So when they pulled something like this, it comes completely out of the blue.
And with a Peter Cullen Prime as well, not with another voice actor Prime. Like with the iconic voice Prime years later to pull this, I think was really good.
At the same time, though, Megatron is kind of pulling a bit of a Dr. Evil. Where it's like, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to turn him into a weapon. And the other Decepticons are like, Megatron, you know, you don't need... sharks with lasers on the heads. Why don't you just pull out your gun and shoot him, and it'll be over. I'm like, no, that's too easy.
I don't know. Like, to me,
because it's going to come back to bite Megatron. I can guarantee you.
It totally will. But I'm curious if this may be also like lingering vestiges of whatever kind of relationship, student pupil relationship they had before Megatron went a little bit more tyrannical.
Yeah, and that's what has me fascinated about this. Because this whole thing could play into Megatron just trying to brainwash Prime, and then Prime eventually something stirs his memory and he finally gets it back after however many episodes they're going to carry this on for. But at the same time, I almost wonder if maybe it could possibly even have a bit of a reverse effect, because this is now Megatron with that kind of philosopher young Prime, who's young and, you know, full of ideas and all that, and the whole thing of them was they shared a common goal, apparently, and you know, peace or justice and all that, but had radically different ways of going about it. And I kind of hope that this doesn't just turn into I'm going to brainwash Prime, and we actually see some really strong character stuff between these two as far as what makes Prime Prime, or Orion Pax versus what makes Megatron. And I hope that they don't spoil this opportunity, because this could be some really great character stuff that I think that this series has kind of delved into a little bit. But when it comes to Prime and Megatron, it's been sorely lacking.
Well, remember, when this show started, they said the reason why it's called Transformers Prime is because the underlying theme will be what makes a Prime. So this could be them getting to it, you know, a season late maybe, but that could be the crux of what's going on. My thoughts are I have a couple veins of thought on this. One of the main ones is one reason why I think Megatron is going through with this. One reason why I hope he is maybe he's kind of missing the older times they had of when it wasn't about that's the leader of the main opposition to my goals. It was more about that's the young pupil who, you know, with whom we have figured out so many ideals we want to execute across the galaxy. And like, it could be interesting if that stirs some like old vestiges of Megatronus before he decided to just become Megatron, you know, tyrant leader of the Decepticons.
Jeez, and just that alone is just such a strange image. Just to imagine Megatron as kind of nostalgic for the good old days.
Yeah, and with the age that has been implied by both this Megatron and this Optimus in the show, that's why that story arc, I thought, was a potential one to happen, because of just the way that they get across it. They've been at this for so long, and this Megatron is like a sort of deranged old man in a way. I'm curious where they're going to go with it. Also, in the back of my head, and I know this is not what's happening, but it did pop into my head. I was looking at it and just looking at the way Optimus was looking at people and Decepticons and Bumblebee and stuff after the memory loss. I was like, what if this is Optimus just pulling the biggest, you know, play to try to put an end to the war by feigning amnesia? Which is probably not what's happening. But
yeah, not with the season two spoiler that we got. I might go that.
Yeah, who knows? You know,
deep undercover. But
I just wonder, like, if it turns out that happens, I kind of want to have it on record that it crossed my mind back here in October. But at the same time, if it doesn't happen, I'm certainly not going to be like, well, there's a dropped ball, because it's a kind of a silly story arc to go through But it's definitely going to open up so much cool stuff to basically have like this weird kind of ghost of Megatron's past literally physically being there with him. And similarly with Optimus Prime or Orion Pax, like, you know, seeing like if his memories start to come back, how he'll react to that, how he'll react to, like, how Orion Pax of then would react to the Megatron of now, you know?
Yeah. See, that's where I thought that, you know, maybe some of that reflection will come back, because Megatron remembers Orion Pax and seeing Pax react, you know, hey, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not seeing where they're being hostile. It seems like they're standing in front of these little fleshy things that you're saying are our problem. And I mean, they're just doing their own thing. What's going on? And, you know, either that'll be a way to reinforce, or I think that could be a great way to kind of have Megatron be like, well, okay, I know I want to rule this world because Cybertron's messed up, but at what point do the lies to keep Pax kind of in line and on our side, you know, it's obvious that it's not, you know. There could be such great story that way.
Oh, yeah.
I got one for you.
Oh, yeah.
What if this series ends as the ultimate anti, because we've seen parallels to the Transformers movie franchise, but then this going in radically different ways that we approve of, such as, you know, Prime wanting to choose peace over violence and stuff like that. What if this show ends up being the ultimate anti-movie, and that the show ends with Megatron's redemption?
That would be so good, especially going off of, you know, the backstory they provided for him.
Yeah, and the way that, like, Ratchet violently reacted against working with him.
Yeah. Like, I think that could be a really cool path for the show to take. And you know, having seen some of the people working on it at New York and hearing from one of the writers, I have confidence that whatever they're going to do, I'm sure, is going to be done for the sake of delivering some really good storytelling. And that would definitely be some really good storytelling, for sure.
I think, yeah. Omegas was going to say something there, too.
He's just kind of lost my thought here. I even wonder if they're even going to go the route of, well, there's only so many deceptions Megatron can make to keep Orion Pax in the dark here, because at no point in stealing Orion Pax away did he mention, those are the evil Autobots, our sworn enemies, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Those are our mortal enemies.
Well, especially because none of the Autobots coming through the door did anything. It was like, hey, Optimus, and then Megatron flipped out and started shooting. I wonder if that's maybe even the start of Orion being like, something's not right here.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, you've got Megatron with a big advantage here in that he knows how Orion thinks. He knows why Orion sided against him in the first place. Now we've seen how fast this Megatron can think. It should be possible for him to maintain this ruse without actually lying about anything.
Well, that's to me part of the what makes me so interested to see where this goes is that, you know, he knows what happened between them in the past, and now he has this weird, it's not a chance to change how things happened, but it's a chance to see what would have happened if he'd acted differently towards Orion Pax.
Right, because we've got Orion from the point when he was a follower, you know, the closest disciple of Megatronus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me the only thing that he could do, because Orion Pax was young and passionate, and from the impression I got, pretty much incorruptible. So this is going to be interesting to see if this is actually Megatron's goal, is to try to corrupt the incorruptible in a way, you know, like one of you guys had just said, as far as getting a second chance, knowing the future. And it almost seems he's going to, in some way, have to make Prime bitter or cynical, or try to corrupt him in that way. But I mean, because ostensibly that shouldn't be able to happen, because that's exactly why they chose him to be the Prime.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's going to, yeah. I wasn't sure how I thought about this, how I thought about the ending and how this season was going to open. But the more we talk about it, the more I'm really intrigued with how this is going to go. And certainly for this show's track record of dealing with things swiftly, I have a feeling this probably isn't going to be like the one episode dealing with it like we've been accustomed to with a lot of these plot threads. But at the same time, I don't think that they're going to make an entire season out of this.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Certainly the first arc. But I wonder how long this is, how long they're going to carry this on for. So I'm really kind of fascinated.
And I'm also curious, you know, because there's a lot of outside influences that could get involved with this thing. And Starscream is still out there too.
Yeah, I was going to say we have Starscream out there, and I wonder how he's going to play into it. Because unless they're just going to not do much with him in that first arc, but
I have a feeling that,
oh, are you a zombie?
I'm not a zombie. They didn't say anything, but someone in the Q&A said, are we going to see Starscream again anytime soon? And they said he's going to be back probably sooner than later, so stop worrying.
Okay
that's all they said. But that, combining that with, you know, the fact that this must be the crux of the opening arc of season 2, has me going, like,
easily, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, they can't just leave this in the background for 10 episodes of like, oh yeah, and there's Orion Pax wandering around confused. Yeah. What is this device?
It's called your finger.
Ah. So that was, to me, a great way to have a season finale. Or at least to have a season finale with a big hook for a second season.
Oh yeah.
My follow-up to that, though, is how do you... I have a question. This is a question for all of you guys. How do you feel the Unicron part of this finale went? Do you think it ended all right? Do you think maybe it ended a little bit abruptly? And do you feel that maybe anything it did, right or wrong, might have been overshadowed by the twist they dropped at the end? I'm still kind of mulling my thoughts on that one myself.
I think it's going to depend on what they do in the future, because they definitely made it a point to say that Unicron could never be permanently destroyed. And they made it a point to say that the Matrix would put him in stasis. So Unicron's still there. If we never see Unicron again, I think I would probably think that it had a pretty epic buildup and a lot of epic concepts and died way too early. But if we get a follow up to this, especially after we get some cool Megatron and Prime character development and relationship building there, and I mean that in the utmost non-shipper way, weirdos. But
I wasn't gonna say anything.
No, not you guys.
But
to our
dear
shipper listeners. But
I will say there was someone on Twitter who posted. They didn't say any spoilers, but it was the one hint I got before the episode. They posted a tweet linking to a picture saying spoilers for Prime finale, but daw, and then like a D colon, which made me think that I didn't click the picture, but I thought maybe it's going to be like showing a dead character. Oh God, they're going to kill someone. Like, Bulkhead, no. And then I went to click the picture afterwards, and it was totally a picture of Prime and Megatron sharing a deep embrace. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I hope that they do something else with Unicron, and
yeah,
because this whole Unicron thing was a cool way to enter into what hopefully we're getting in season two, which is the Prime versus Megatron, but instead of on the physical level, on the philosophical level, and then dealing with Unicron again maybe after that would be really interesting. But if they never touch Unicron again, I'll be disappointed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see them using him very soon, because his whole angry face spark just, like, puffs out when Prime dumps the Matrix. So
that's the worst kind of stasis, when your soul turns off.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if it's going to take some other great culmination lineup of 47 planets or something, and if all the planets are aligning that rapidly, we've got issues. But I could see them coming up with some other story beats to make it happen again, but it seems like they pretty much turned Unicron off with the power of the...
Yeah.
One day, Miko really wanted to watch TV, so she went to activate a power plant. We sent a magnetic shock to the core of the Earth. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
she turned on news coverage, which showed a CG render of the 47 planets aligning, which then stirred Unicron from his deep sleep.
And then everyone said, damn it, Miko.
Miko, we told you not to turn your Xbox on with the key to Vector Sigma.
Oh, by the way, once we're done this, I should probably share some of the stuff they did say at the Prime panel that were not spoilers, but were more intentions.
Well, what I'm surprised you guys haven't mentioned yet.
Here we go.
I might have. It was my turn. Yes.
I mean, you have to mention things in a certain order. Of course I was going to bring
up the... damn it!
You've ruined everything now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's been...
we're done.
I thought he was going to talk. I was waiting for him to say something.
I was hoping for it too.
No, but there was a part of me going, no, please don't say a word.
Yeah, I was so torn, because I was like, if he talks, that's going to change it forever. It's going to change the whole way I look at him. Granted, he's not done much, but I was like, I want him to do more silently before he talks. And I was kind of okay with how that scene went. But I like how Soundwave literally takes control of everything going on by just like stepping heavily down on the ramp and looking at everyone. Like,
yeah.
Well, they explained that one in the. They gave a little bit of backstory on him too. He's he's the original follower of Megatron. He is one of the original Decepticons. That's right. How long his eyes and ears have been in the Decepticon army.
And so that also means
very G1.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that also to me implies that this whole thing, I wouldn't even call it
G1, because you had the scene in the movie where, you know, Soundwave tries to step up and everyone's going, no, sit your ass down, we're in charge now. You know, you had him in that power struggle and apparently didn't even factor in at the end of the day.
Soundwave's
authority is completely unmatched, except for Megatron himself.
It's almost as if Soundwave has more of a religious role, because he obviously doesn't fall in the direct chain of command. We had Megatron, and his second in command was Starscream. Starscream gets thrown out and replaced with Arachnid, who's come out of nowhere and is now the second in command. But Soundwave is viciously loyal to Megatron. Obviously, he answers to no one besides Megatron itself. It's as if his role is not in a military role. It's almost like this pseudo religious position where he's not directly part of the military chain of command, but yet yet he doesn't answer to that chain of command either.
Yeah,
right. It's almost like a cleric role where he's right there beside him, but he is not part of the command. Mostly because he spends so much time watching and monitoring the Decepticons that you wouldn't want him in a chain of command. He's far too important here.
Yeah, yeah. I really like how just I love the sheer. I use the word all the time, but the sheer spookiness he gave off when it was like, maybe we should plan for a world without Megatron. He's just like, no. Doesn't even have to say anything. He's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep looking for him.
Oh, well, that and he just dominated that fight, too.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm cool with him not being in many action scenes, because clearly he doesn't really seem to need to prove anything.
Yeah.
I love how the whole time he's clacking away on his little keypad until Arachnid tries to give him an order. Then he steps up, puts her down like it's nothing, then turns around and walks right back to work. Clack, clack, clack on the keypad.
Yeah. And the questions about him came up during the Q&A, which combined with that show in this episode have, you know, they've definitely kept me on board the Soundwave train. I can't disagree with how little he's done in the opening season, but I'm still on board the train for all the potential he has that was, I think, really renewed by that show of, like, silent, domineering, and unstoppable loyalty.
Yeah, well, it just amazed me because it wasn't even like Arachnid came close to getting in a shot. It was like the Kung Fu master just like bop, bop, bop to those hits and then hand to the throat, no, you're not doing this.
Yeah, and I
that was it.
I love the whole implication. It's like, you know, she's definitely a capable fighter, and it's like Soundwave probably could make a bid for leadership if he wanted to. You could probably take out any Decepticon on that ship if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He has no reason to, but I love that they kind of just, you know, took a moment aside. Like, by the way, Soundwave is a badass. Don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hands off. I guess since we're on the topic of Soundwave, I'll mention at the panel, they almost literally said what I said way back, which is that they said, if Soundwave is going to say something, we want it to mean it. Like, we want the moment Soundwave says something to be a giant moment for the show. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he didn't say anything there.
So they're still on board with the whole, it's not that Soundwave can't talk, it's that he chooses not to.
They literally said that, yeah.
Okay, good.
They said Soundwave...
I like that.
Yeah, they said Soundwave can talk, he chooses not to, and if we ever do have him talk, we're going to make it worth it. And I was like, yes!
Kind of silent Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I hope they can stick to that, because I love that idea, and that's a long-term payoff and a whole lot of asking for patience from viewers, but if they do follow through with it.
I'm still on board for what I had said way back when we first started doing the Prime Times. I hope that when he finally speaks, his voice is the most creepy, unnerving thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't even want it to be G1 whatever it's called. What do you call that again? Effect?
Vocoding.
Vocoding.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be G1 vocoding. I just want it to be this insane, evil, creepy, makes my chills run down my spine and almost don't want to watch the episode again sound to come from him when he finally does decide to speak. I know I'm going to be let down when he finally does. That's why I kind of almost wish that he doesn't, but that's what I want.
Someone in the audience at the panel made a point in favor of them possibly just doing the G1 voice because Frank Welker is right there in the casting room.
Right.
And that would be one less role
but that's,
to have to
that,
cast.
That'd be so anticlimactic because that's what everybody is expecting. Mm-hmm. So the minute he does G1 Soundwave, it's going to be like, yep, saw that coming.
This whole time it's just been Soundwave.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it would be amazing if when he speaks, it's not just like Soundwave. It's more so along, like, take the Soundwave concept and then just roll it in this new bent of, like, it's not that he's vocoded, it's that he sounds like he literally removed his own vocal processors and is speaking through other parts of his body somehow. You know, like, just these weird, just, like, distorted, scratchy noises and... Yeah. Soundwave, I'm so glad he did something. And I'm so glad that I didn't miss-see him doing that little half-turn in the episode prior when Arachnid said her line about a world without Megatron or something like that. Like... I'm right there. And I wonder how Soundwave will factor into the whole Orion Pax thing as well, because he's such a devoted follower of Megatron and has been for so long. Like, he's probably... I'll be surprised if he doesn't have any kind of interaction with Orion Pax.
Well, there's a little interesting little possibility there in that Orion Pax was Megatron's follower before Soundwave was even in the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
There's seniority here.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder how that's going to play out, like, once the episode proper, or the episodes proper start coming in again.
I hope we're not just letting ourselves up for some big letdown.
I do, too. I'm trying, like, mad.
There's so much possible psychology at the potential here. I mean, you've got this completely deranged Megatron who suddenly has someone who remembers how he used to be before the war. Mm-hmm. You know, and speaking of his original ideals that, you know, Orion Pax was originally behind. And, you know, it could just be as simple as, you know, 5 minutes in, you know, the key to Vector Sigma reboots his processor or something. Or he's just pretending to be memory wiped.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard to keep my expectations tempered while speculating on these things that I could easily let myself down by even saying. And definitely to all listeners, you know, don't, you know, our speculation is still speculation. Don't let that dictate what you expect out of the show. Have your own expectation. Like, being able to divide between expectations and speculation is really important in not being disappointed with anything you watch. But they have set up so much potential, and like I've said before, they've shown themselves to be so able to act upon some story threads that originally I wasn't sure they'd actually touch on, that I feel like it's speculation, but not entirely unwarranted speculation. I'm really excited to see season two and kind of happy that I'm not going to have to wait very long.
Absolutely.
Although the break will be nice. Kind of kick back a little bit. I actually had something else I really wanted to throw down after all my ranting an episode or three ago. I can't remember when I did it, but you know how I was really just like talking mad nuts about how the hub had been dropping spoilers early on? You know how they had that line where in one hub thing about Optimus was a Decepticon and Megatron was an Autobot?
Oh, man.
I was smiling from ear to ear when he said that, and Ratchet was like, nope. And I was like, oh, okay.
Ratchet said, no, not on either account.
I was like, all right, that's a misinformation campaign. Good show. In hindsight, excellent show. Back then, I was pretty annoyed, but now I'm quite happy about it.
That's just such a beautiful clip. That's beautiful trolling done right there.
Oh, it's fantastic. That is how you do a misinformation campaign. And, I mean, it's certainly a more frustrating way to do one. Don't get me wrong. Like, I still don't think the hub should be showing, like, yo, we're going to show you a clip of what they're saying in episode 26 before episode 1 has aired. But that was definitely still a really cool moment for me. Like, I got to applaud them for totally misleading me. Like, completely misleading me.
And the irony is, that's still how the episode ended.
Yeah, and then, by the end, it's like, oh, but he's, what? Damn it, the hub. So I had to throw that quick shout out there because, you know, I did say that stuff. Although, I'm still going to say, I really wish they hadn't had anyone say Unicron before this four-parter. Because that did kind of blow the wad a bit. But, where were we? I got lost when Aaron came in and said I was surprised you didn't mention.
Sorry. Trolling. Sorry.
Chuggerts.
Not sorry.
Gog, do you have another part of the episode you'd like to bring up?
Knockout didn't get a lot of screen time, but he was as hilarious as ever. I can't remember if it was when Soundwave grabbed... I think it was when he grabbed Arachne by the neck and picked her up. He just goes, oh. and then after he basically smacks her down and steps on her head and she says, I yield. He goes back to typing on his keyboard. He's like, yeah, he always got to look out for the quiet ones.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Knockout, you are awesome. Please stay awesome.
I'm so happy Knockout is still here on the show. He's definitely bringing a wonderful contribution to the cast. Actually, that reminds me. I kind of liked this is going back a bit, but Knockout reminded me. I really liked that scene when Megatron comes back into the ship and everyone is just lined up and on one knee when he comes in. That was a show of seniority. I'd forgotten seeing at any other point in the show, and it was a really cool way to get across the menacing Empire Strikes Back ending of this season. Yeah.
Did you notice Arachnid wasn't in that scene?
I didn't see, no.
Soundwave and Knockout and Breakdown and a bunch of drones.
Arachnid's like, I'm going to bed. Screw you guys. Or maybe it'll lead to something more plot-centric come season two. I'm not sure.
Soundwave has silently exiled her back off of the ship.
Yeah. Go back to that ship of yours that crash landed, you know, the one that blew up.
He just points at the window and she's trying to pantomime what's going on, grabs her by the throat, throws her out an airlock.
Omegas, how about you? Have you got something you'd like to bring up?
Starting to run a little thin here. I like that we have a matrix of leadership that has an actual origin for a change.
Yeah. After all the talk we had about how it was so nice they defined a sort of science as to why it would stop Unicron, they also gave it a backstory. So it didn't just come out of nowhere. It's not like, oh, by the way, this has been in his chest for the whole show, FYI.
Right, because, usually it's, well, what's that? It's a matrix of leadership. It's the symbol of our leader. It contains the knowledge of the ancients. And, okay. We just came up with it one day. Duracell released it a few centuries ago.
Frank.
Awesome little.
You know, Frank.
I'm glad they finally get it. Like, we know we already had the origin a little bit since it's part of Primus Sword. It's the hilt of Primus Sword. Mm-hmm. But to see it emerge from the spark of Primus, you know, it just has. You know, and to know that Optimus is apparently the first one since Prima to wield it.
Yeah.
It gives it a lot more significance.
There was some gravitas there. Not a case of this was passed down from... I think we actually saw a Sentinel Prime in some of those flashback clips while I was just rewatching them a few minutes ago. But it's not like, this was passed down from a whole bunch of leaders who somehow never thought to actually try using it. And
right, yeah, hang on to this until a little red kid with a flame job comes along.
Yeah. Wait for Unicron. FY, he's real, you know. This is kind of basing off what we said before, but there is definitely some great thought process in, you know, making some legitimate fantasy sci-fi science out of what's going on. I really think that was a Sentinel Prime. Sorry, I'm really distracted. In that scene, that painting right before the big flaming Decepticon symbol, Megatron is sticking his sword into a dude who looks kind of Sentinel Prime-ish to me. Maybe not like, you know, animated Sentinel Prime, but like the classic idea of that Prime who got killed before Optimus Prime. I don't know.
I was trying to remember if that head looked like anybody to me, and I couldn't quite place it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure, but and given the focus they had on it, I'm wondering if maybe that was a little bit of a nod there. I'm not really sure. Anyone have anything else from the episode they want to touch on? Because I just have a bunch of stuff from the Prime panel I can share.
The only other thing that I noticed is Breakdown doesn't actually have any lines.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's because they can't get Baldwin in to do as much. Because he's had a couple times where he's reacted to things, but it's always been silent.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know where I'm going with that.
They might have just not had
a... That was just something that I noticed. That
they might have just not had a place for him to say anything in this episode.
Yeah, bring him in and do all the stuff. And since he's a, air quotes, name, maybe a little bit more than some of the others, he's busy, so they still have his character in there, but not... You know, they have the space maybe in the episode for him to say something, but he couldn't make it in, so they just had him menace.
Yeah.
I think the last thing on my little notepad is that apparently eye color is completely changeable in the Prime universe.
Oh.
Yeah, that flashback scene where Megatron's got blue eyes, which is weird to see to begin with.
Oh, there was a part in that, though, where they totally flared and then went, like, red.
Yeah, they
As soon as Orion Pax was chosen instead of him.
He got so mad he invented eye color conventions on the spot.
Right. So just sitting here panning through the episode looking for anything else, and I'm in that flashbacky scene.
Mm-hmm.
What's the actual marker here? At about 5:06, if you have the Dark Prime encode. Where Orion Pax is talking to the counselor, whoever. There is a dude in Sphere and what appears to be our Beast guy. Do you think that those guys are still around, or do you think those are maybe just statues?
I don't know.
Because in the book, was it Vector Sigma or Vector Prime that was still around? In the book, what am I saying? You guys haven't read the book. Read the books.
Okay.
Read a book.
All right, Mom. Yeah. All right, I'll read the book.
there were still some of the original 13 around early on. I wonder if they're tying that in, too.
Oh, probably, if that's in the book. Maybe, that's the Beast one, and what some have guessed to maybe be the Minicon one.
The Minicon one, yeah.
And what are two types of alt modes we haven't really seen in Prime yet?
Yeah.
I do want to say that I hope there are. I mean, when you're talking about did the ending take away from the Unicron arc, or, you know, it was, you know, did it diminish him in some way? And I think Unicron was used fine because it's the villain you kind of expect Transformers to hit. It's Prime's trademark is to do the things you'd expect and get him out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, and move on to other things.
Yeah.
Since we have the original 13 Prime in this series, I'm hoping for a more fleshed out Fallen to come around at some point.
When you guys were talking about possible ways for Unicron to get revived, first thing that I thought of was, what if they bring the Fallen into this as the mythical Fallen, not the easily face-ripped Fallen, and maybe he heads over to Unicron to go like, hey, guess what? I'm back, and I want to wake you up. And Unicron's like, prideful fool! And then he's like, listen.
Yeah, if they brought actual Megatronus back, that... Yeah.
Oh, man. Because the Fallen, they said, is Megatronus, the original one. What if they bring him back, and that's like the crux of this whole Megatron Orion Pax flashbacky nostalgia thing?
And Bulkhead in the past has referenced the Fallen.
Yeah.
The Fallen has been name dropped in this series.
So those are all definite potentials, I think, for ways this could go. Once again, don't get mad if they don't actually go that way, but... It's an idea.
Why can't we be in the writer's room as our pitching ideas?
They wrote this all 2 years ago. They had a funny story. Yeah. Someone asked, how did you guys come up with the idea of Unicron being inside the planet Earth? And they said that it was just one of the writers during a writing meeting just threw it out there. And everyone looked at the guy like he was crazy. And they were like, what? No, we can't do that. And then they went back and they kept thinking about it. And they're like, actually... Maybe this could... And then they pitched it to, like, the producers, and the producers went, what? No, you're crazy. And then they went back to them, like, no, listen, here's how it could play out. And, I mean, there's some really creative people working on this, and they have at least they had writer meetings to hash some of this stuff out. So I wonder if, I don't know, like, given the number of times that we've apparently thought along their wavelength, I'm always feeling like our speculation has some potential to it. I don't know. I don't mean that in an egotistic way. I just mean that in the documented number of times that this has happened kind of way.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Yeah. That could be really cool. Anything else about One Shall Rise Part 3?
Now let's go into the panel.
Okay. I'm going to just... I didn't take notes because I recorded it, so I'm just going to go off the top of my head. So if I miss some... If anyone who was there, if you hear me, you know, leave something out, don't get mad, please. Just say you're surprised I didn't mention. Okay, first thing, they... And I don't think any of this stuff was real heavy spoilers. These were more just like... These are concepts of where things are going to go. They didn't say, like, they didn't say such and such will die, such and such will turn into such and such. Although they did say that they were actually considering killing off Raph in this three-parter. Like, when he got hit with the Dark Energon, which I think would have been hilarious. Just like, yo, who is the most useless character in the show? I think his name ends with Escavelle.
Damn it!
You hear the rage...
Because someone asked them the question of, at some point, these guys had said that a character may die by the end of the first season, and they said that, yeah, we were going to do that, but we decided to change our plans a little bit.
I'm glad that's out there now, because, and I hope that the word gets around, because every thread on Transformers Prime right now is like, oh, maybe this could lead into that rumored death, and then everyone has a theory on who the death is going to be. So now that we know that that was rooted in this and that they decided not to do it, I hope that every discussion on Transformers Prime now stops turning into who is going to die.
Well,
yeah, but
the problem is there's another angle to this.
Damn it!
They said we changed our plans and we've moved that to something that we're going to do in a future season, and now it might be two.
Yeah, they did. I do remember seeing a recap where they mentioned that the body count was going to rise.
And then they also said every single character is at risk of dying. There is no character currently safe as far as their writing is concerned.
That's good, in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. They might have just been something they said for the panel, but they made a point of... First off, the writer guy is the one who said that body count might be at two, and then like some of the other guys in the panel kind of gave him a dirty look, like, hey, don't say that.
Yeah.
And then they all kind of looked around a bit, and they're like, all right, here's the thing. Everyone is on the table. Don't think anyone is safe in the show.
Well, the biggest reason why I think that's a really great thing is because then that lets you write the story how it should be. Not say, well, Prime and Bumblebee have got a character shield on, and so we don't have to worry about them because it's Prime and Bumblebee, and so then that pushes it to RC, or do we want to bring in, you know, do we bring Wheeljack back since he's a, air quotes, established character, have him hang around just to have him die? You know, you can write things that are better, like the whole Bulkhead hanging off the edge of the cliff with Bumblebee holding on to him. Thought, you know, you could have something like that.
I was worried
have impact.
That.
Yeah, I was too, because RC was worried, and, you know, Prime did come in for the last second save, like you expect from kind of the kiddie side of a TV show of, oh, it was dangerous, but he's safe. But you could have something like that happen where, no, you know, RC has to do the you shall not pass thing and goes out, but goes out on a good note type of, or goes out on a brave note type of thing, and you don't have to have... You know, the cavalry comes in and the space bridge opens up and Autobot troopers roll out and take care of everything.
Yeah, it almost scares me because of how much of the good writing has gone into making RC such a viable character and easily the best, I'm going to say best female character we've had since, like, Black Arachnia.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the terms of being fleshed out and developed as a character, not just a girl transformer. It almost worries me because those are the ones that tend to get it in the end. Hello, Prowl.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Motorcycle too. Yeah.
Oh God.
So basically,
if she gets armor, I'm digging the grave.
Well, the thing is, someone said that there were a couple questions people asked where the reply to the question was, "Oh, so you went by the Hasbro booth." And one of the questions, or you've been talking to the guys at the Hasbro booth, haven't you, was their answer to the questions. One of those questions was, will any of the characters in Prime be getting any kind of, like, physical upgrades? And then their response was, you've been talking to the guys at the Hasbro booth, haven't you? Same thing with there was another question, which was, it was asked in a really funny way. I recall, maybe I'm misremembering, but the question was basically like, is there at any point going to be maybe a specialized team of, you know, like this one character who might be getting highlighted in an upcoming video game who has a team with him who are similarly specialized? And their reply was, you've been talking to the Hasbro guys at the booth again, haven't you? So I don't know how to take that one, if that's going to be toys or whatnot, but apparently the guys at the Hasbro booth, people, when they found Transformers dudes there, those guys were talking about stuff, is the way that I understood this. Someone also asked why Arachnid was not named Black Arachnia. Their answer was that they didn't want fans to look at Arachnid with any kind of preconception as to what her character was going to be, because they did not intend to write Black Arachnia. They wanted to That's write good. A different character.
Yeah, right. I think that was one of the things we said was a possibility too when we were going over that.
Yeah, they basically said that they wanted to write a character like that, like Arachnid, but if they called her Black Arachnia, people would just people would go in expecting something, and people would maybe even get upset that they weren't going in that direction.
Why didn't this character get redeemed?
Yeah, exactly. They said that basically, like, they said that they had a word to describe Arachnid as a character, and it wasn't something they could say on Saturday because that was Kids Day.
Awesome.
So I think they basically said, like, yeah, guess what? Arachnid is not a Black Arachnia rehash in any way, shape, or form. And I was like, all right, good. They did say that there's going to be a slight change of location in season two. Do you guys want to know what that change of location is?
Yes.
Space.
Yay.
At some point in season two, the bulk of the action is going to leave the planet Earth.
That probably means new characters.
Yeah. They said that, here's where we can go into more stuff. I think they kind of said that we're probably going to see Wheeljack again. And they said they don't want to reveal too many characters. Then someone went right up and said, so Tony Todd did an interview recently where he said he was voicing a character called Dreadwing. Is there any validity to that? And their reply was, Tony's in trouble. And they said that, yes, he's voicing a character called Dreadwing who should have a very interesting multi-episode character arc. And that's all they're going to say. They said that with them leaving the planet Earth, that means we may start to see Transformers with other kinds of alt modes than vehicles.
Yeah. Well, didn't they talk about, I can't remember if it was for the book or for Prime, but talking about Velocitron and some of the other Cybertron.
Yeah, like they're gonna go into, I think,
thematic stuff.
It sounded to me a whole lot like the one of the goals of Galaxy Force or Transformers Cybertron, which is to have different aesthetics depending what planet you go to. And it sounds like they basically kind of they didn't say beasts, but they kind of hinted at it.
Yeah.
Which could look really interesting in this aesthetic. What else did they say? They want to keep raising the stakes, I believe. It's kind of an empty statement, but they said, like, yeah, you know, we're gonna pick things up, and the next finale should blow your minds even more, etc., etc. But I think that was the crux of a lot of the stuff I remember from the panel. It's a lot of really good info. Someone at the Q&A did say, like, why did you make Starscream so feminine? And then the designer said, I don't know. He was like, I don't think I made him feminine. And then the girl who asked the question said, yeah, but you gave him high heels, and he's all svelte and thin. And the designer said that that wasn't really his intention. The high heels just kind of happened. Another person asked, why is movie Starscream's face on Prime Starscream's chest? And then the guy said, again, I didn't actually mean to do that. And then I think he kind of half-joked. He said, I meant for that to be an elephant's face rather than a movie Starscream face. But go and look for all the... Then he stopped. He said, you know what? No, I did do that on purpose. So please go and look for all the other hidden Transformers faces I've plugged into all the other Transformers Prime designs. That's all the questions I remember off the top of my head from the panel. But it was I think it was a really good panel. They shared some really cool information. One of the best parts of information was them sharing the turnaround time on these episodes. Because it gives me a new appreciation, or at least a new, not even appreciation, just like... More objectively, it gives me a new perspective on these episodes as I watch them.
Yeah,
because they are literally like they are. This show is being made down to the wire, And the 3D company that's working on it was actually, they wanted to work with this company. I can't remember the name now off the top of my head, but the guys who are doing the animation, is it called Vector? I can't remember.
Sounds familiar, but
anyway, this company that's doing the animation, they went in wanting to work with them, but due to the way that these projects are made, they did have to open it up to bids. And the only company who put in a bid to do this workload was that company. Because this is apparently a very, very insane undertaking, trying to do this much stuff at such a fast pace, at decent quality. And the storyboard artist who lives in New York actually said that there are times where even though he does the storyboarding, the show still amazes him, and like there are times where the emotion coming out of the characters like brings tears to his eyes, and I was like, I'm right there with you, man! Only I didn't shout that, because I got class. But,
Stand up, San Dimas High School football rules.
Slow clap. So it was a good panel, and there will be recordings of it. I'm sure I'm not the only one who recorded it. I know I'm not the only one who recorded it. But there will be multiple ways to watch that panel and listen to it, I'm quite sure. And it's well worth your time if you're enjoying Prime, is what I got to say. Anything else you guys want to talk about here? Anything you heard about happening at the panel that I didn't talk about? Just in case that jogs my memory, I don't know. I didn't actually look at any of the recaps.
Unfortunately, like I said, I was at SlagaCon through most of that time, so I'm still in catch-up mode.
I'm just checking my listener question thing now to see if there's any primetime questions I've forgotten about, but I don't seem to have anything with that phrase in there. So I think we're all good for now. So yeah, we'll be back in what is it, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, it's a lot quicker turnaround than I was thinking it was going to be before. So I think our mid-season break actually went longer than this break is, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah, well, we'll be back in 3 or 4 weeks whenever the next episode of Prime happens. We'll try to convene to re-prime time. But for now, thank you all for listening to this last, this last season of Prime Times. It's been a lot of fun doing these. And I got to say, like I've always said, I'm so happy that we have a show that I feel eager to actually do a series of podcasts like this about. Some people have said, you know, like, oh man, like, where's the rest of your animated coverage? We started doing this with Animated Season 3 because we were doing the podcast and Animated warranted it. And I'm really glad to say I think that Transformers Prime warrants continuing coverage like this. At least in my opinion. So,
November 28th is the current season premiere date.
Hoo-hoo. All right. So end of November. I guess we'll see you guys in December then, if it's the 28th of November when that's happening.
Oh man, maybe the season premiere of season 2 of WTF Primetime. Maybe we should have a same day release.
Oh man.
Ooh.
I wonder, because then we can have one out in November.
Yeah.
Only have been a 1 month break. Yeah, let's see how our schedules go and and let's harass Dark Prime into getting his encode out as fast as possible.
They're usually up within 2 hours.
Excellent. Let's not harass Dark Prime because he's doing some great work. So thank you all for listening to this last season or so, and we'll be back. Primetime 23 will be back when season 2 begins. Thank you, Gog Dog. Thank you, Aaron. And thank you, Omegas, for joining me on this wonderful adventure of Primetime. It's been fun.
Yay!
Everyone's like, no, it hasn't been fun.
Yay!
Why do you keep screaming at the beginning of every show?
Yay!
Toby, do a victorious rollover.
Did he
just stare at me, wagging his tail?
He's like, I don't like Prime Time.
It's like we're happy.
Now he's licking his butt.
That's what I think of Prime.
He did a victory butt lick.
Freaking GoBot fan. Thank you. All right. So until the end of November, ladies and gentlemen, we are Prime out! Yeah.
perpetrators, and they're here to stay.